Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
Well, as we featured on yesterday's programme, I think it was one of the most striking TV documentaries. Whistleblower, the Maurice McCabe story, came to a conclusion, the two-part series last night. It got record viewing. And one of the people who featured on that was John McGuinness, a Fianna Fáil TD from Kilkenny and former chairperson of the Public Accounts Committee, which was dealing with the whole issue of the penalty points scandal, of quashing of penalty points. And it was quite clear in the insights that John McGuinness developed a relationship with Maurice McCabe, was pivotal in changing his fortunes because he believed him. And of course, John was directly involved in dialogue with Martin Callanan, the former disgraced Garda commissioner. Take a listen to this snippet from the programme, the call made to Maurice by John after the findings from the Charlton Tribunal were published.
The report found that TD John McGuinness had been telling the truth.
John McGuinness.
Hello.
I'm going to make it in loud. John. Well, only for you. Oh, John, he made a fantastic job of me. I just wanted to ring you and thank you.
All right, that was an exchange on the phone between Maurice and John McGuinness. Welcome to the programme. John, the first occasion that you came across Maurice McCabe?
It was a long time before, many years before he came to the Public Accounts Committee. I met him, I was aware of what was happening to Maurice McCabe. It was general talk. It was reported a little in the media, and finally he came forward and asked me to meet with him to discuss the overall issues and then to discuss the penalty point controversy. I met him as chairman of the Public Accounts Committee. He provided the evidence, which was clear. There was nothing that he said to me at any stage that wasn't backed up by hard evidence, and he was always truthful in terms of how he described what was happening within the force and the serious wrongdoings that were ongoing at that time.
Now, you, of course, featured as a witness in relation to the particular car park meeting was at Bewley's in Newlands Cross area with the former Commissioner Martin Callanan. You added to that with Katie Hannan, which I wasn't aware of, whereby at the end of the conversation in your car, Martin Callanan put his hand on your arm and said, "You're in big trouble." Just tell us about that, please.
Yeah, we had discussed what had happened and what was happening at the Public Accounts Committee hearings. We had he had been in contact with the committee based on the legal position of the evidence that we were gathering and saying that it was not our property, if you like, and it should be handed back. So there was a lot of tension at that time. The meeting was arranged by phone. We met. I presumed it was to be in the hotel, but on the Nace Road. And at the end of that meeting, having had an exchange in relation to Maurice McCabe and the various accusations that were made against him, he reached out to me and said, "You know, you're in deep trouble." That was seriously unnerving for me. I was certainly afraid of what was about to happen or what my position was. Because I had been dealing directly with the Public Accounts Committee and with Maurice McCabe, and I feared for the ongoing investigation, and I also was questioning myself as to whether I was right or wrong in relation to Maurice McCabe. So it certainly...
Like, you weren't tempted to say, "Who the hell you do you think you are threatening me?"
No, Ivan, because he was the most senior member of the Garda Síochána, and he had, prior to that, alerted me to the fact that Maurice McCabe had serious questions to answer around sexual abuse and that there was a file. That was enough to hear in any one day. And when he reinforced that message by saying that I and PAC were in an awful lot of trouble, That, as I said, was a lot for me to think about and a lot for me to take on board arising
from. What you're really saying, you were on the back foot somewhat?
No, I was on the back foot, if you want to put it that way. I was certainly concerned because, as I said to you, it was the commissioner that was telling me this. And one would make the presumption that a commissioner would know all of what was happening within his own force. And I had to take that at face value on that day. And then I had to question myself as to whether or not I was on the right track. If he had that very strong position and had warned me in such a way, I presume it was based on evidence. It was based on facts that he may have had. So I certainly was taken off guard by the comment. And somewhat, as you say, on the back foot because of it.
Now, let's go to the heart of this. There were files prepared by Tusla which falsely charged that beyond the Ms. D original allocations that he was involved in a serious sexual assault, that his files were developed on his children, and so on. Your evidence was totally vindicated in the Charlton report. But, you know, it does seem to me that a lot of people involved in this campaign of calumny seemed to go missing when it came to the Charlton report. In other words, if all this malicious smearing was done, we only know of two people who knew anything about it, Dave Taylor and Martin Callanan. And we really have no explanation how every error in Tusla and every delay was really damaging to the most high-profile whistleblower in the country. Do you think in that regard, in terms of exposing the truth of what happened to Maurice McCabe, that the full story has been told?
Well, from what I know of the full story, I believe that it has been told. And I believe the reason why he was vindicated, apart from my evidence, was the fact that there were others who came forward, such as the Comptroller and Auditor General and Deputy John Deasy, who stood his ground and was prepared to explain what was said to him by the commissioner. But there were others that would have helped to circulate rumours throughout Leinster House during all of those years. And they didn't come forward. You know, the turning point for Maurice McCabe at one part of the road to the end of this was when the then minister, now Taoiseach, Leo Radicker, said it was distinguished, not disgusting. So there was various statements made like that through the course of all of this that gave Maurice McCabe the strength that he needed to continue on. But there is no doubt in my mind that there was others that could have come forward to confirm the position, because the rumours in Leinster House around that time and in the public domain were outrageous.
And in the media. And in the media, it has to be, yes.
Sorry, I should have said that. And in the media. And they were circulated widely. So I think that we have...
Like, there was a whispering campaign against him, a lot of which Maurice McCabe has never been presented with. Could I put it to you... what do you make of Tusla and their handling of the McCabe file?
I think they've been disgraced, not just in relation to McCabe, but in relation to other matters. And I think they're not fit for purpose. They have changed very little from the time there were the health boards and the HSE. I'm not making any accusations against individuals there, but it's obvious and clear that individuals within the organisation know what went wrong in all of this and in other cases. It's highly unusual that all of the errors and all of the, you know, question marks fell against Maurice McCabe. Nothing fell in his favour. Everything was negative about Maurice McCabe, and everything was proven to be untrue. And we can't get away from the fact that others knew about this. The truth has come out. But Maurice McCabe...
Do you accept the cock-up theory?
Sorry?
Do you accept the cock-up theory?
No, I do not. I do not. And I think it's a, you know, it's a presentation of the position of Tuisla to hide behind that cock-up theory. And I think that the evidence stacks up in a way that makes it clear that it was not a cock-up, that somebody knew an awful lot more than what has been said to date.
It also came across, every time he thought he was coming out of the woods, he was hit with something new. He thought the O'Higgins Commission, in relation to his allegations about Ballyburgh, in which Micheál Martin played a distinguished role, it had to be said, that that would come in his favour. And then he was ambushed with this thing about his motivation. And I have to ask the question, if he hadn't produced a tape recording of the August 2008 Mullingar interview, you know, that might have continued. Now, we do know that those who presented that minutes at that meeting told the truth. But somewhere in the system, between the legal instructions by Noreen O'Sullivan to her legal team, and various people have taken the hit for that, including the lawyers. What did you make about all that? Because I got from the programme that Maurice McCabe wasn't entirely, he had to accept Charlton's findings, but he wasn't entirely convinced of other people's motivation.
And that is the exact position. And if you look back to 2008 onwards, the state went beyond the norm to ensure that Maurice McCabe and the accusations that he was making at that time were buried. And they did everything to him to try and bury his story. And they did not stop at what might be a normal course of action. They went further and tried to blacken his name, his personality, his family. What touched me about the documentary was the fact that in the context of the sexual abuse, he stopped washing his children and preparing them for bed.
Yeah.
He stopped engaging with children that called to the house.
He left the house every time other kids arrived to play with his own kids.
We have to remember, Ivan, that it is the state that did this to this family.
In our name.
In our name. And the same state does the same thing to other families throughout this state, and they get away with it. And if this report finds itself gathering dust on its shelf, it is shameful that the government would have allowed that to happen. And therefore, while we have the report, while Maurice McCabe has been vindicated, we cannot forget the others. John Wilson. We cannot forget the death of Shane O'Farrell. We cannot forget the two other whistleblowers, females, who were destroyed by the state.
Was that in relation to the homicide statistics?
Others. And we have to ensure that those that have blown the whistle in a truly genuine way are not punished further. But unfortunately, as we speak today, there are whistleblowers being punished and beaten by the state in our name.
Okay,
and the Taoiseach has to say stop to all of that, and so have all of us in the door. We have a responsibility and an obligation.
Okay, we're tight on time. What about the dogs that didn't bark? Not one civil servant in the Department of Justice that had regulatory oversight of the Gardaí? What about the AGSI, who he was a member of? What about the GRA in relation to the social media about the rats and all of the abuse that he took? Should they not be coming forward and saying that they failed in their duty?
I believe that they should. But dogs, as the saying goes, resemble their masters. And if their masters are the political elite and the bureaucrats have an awful lot to answer, because they collaborated and they worked as one to defeat Maurice McCabe and are working as one to defeat others in this country. And that is something that ties into a culture that must be rooted out.
Okay, and the final point I want to put to you is about the PAC itself. It's become fashionable and popular to say that the PAC has become a kangaroo court, that it doesn't give justice, that it's unfair, and that it should have, should be dehorned as such. Could I put it to you that if the PAC and you as chairman of the PAC had not taken Maurice McCabe, he could have been left, and I want to say this literally, hanging on that tree that his wife Lorraine spoke about in their family home.
Yes, and that is the reality. That is the reality. And if you look at John Wilson and his case, and if you remember how all of those people were treated, The fact of the matter is that without the Public Accounts Committee doing what they did, not grandstanding, but doing the job that they were elected to do, represent the people, put the citizens first, challenge the authorities. If that wasn't happening, then we would not have heard Maurice McCabe's story. We would not have heard Vicky Phelan's story. We would not have heard many other stories that are there without being reported on. So the state has a big job to do in terms of correcting its approach to all of these problems, in terms of growing up and acting in a mature fashion, being respectable and responsive to a society that is demanding change.
Deputy John McGuinness, Fianna Fáil TD for Carrick-Kilkenny and former PAC committee, of course currently finance chair, thank you indeed for joining us on the programme. We're going to